I come from the corporate world, having spent a good 13, 14 years in the corporate world, where my day used to be from 7 in the morning till, say, 9, 9:30 in the evening. And especially on the days when the sales closing, you know, you have to meet your numbers. So month-end sales closing, I never used to be back home before 1:30 or 2 in the night. And I was, at that point in time, 10 years back now, I was in the danger zone that one day I would walk back home and, you know, both my daughters will, you know, open the door and ask me, "Uncle, who are you?" Okay. And that's when I decided that I've had enough of, you know, the corporate world. I have enough decent bank balance, and I can, you know, pursue one of my life goals of working in public health. So that's how I got into this particular arena. And when I got into it, I realized that, you know, even educated people, and that's what we were talking a little while earlier, do not understand what public health is all about. For colleagues of mine who were in the corporate world at that point in time, and I told them, you know, I'm quitting my job and a high-paying one at that, and start going to start pursuing public health. So the first reaction was that, okay, you're nuts, you've lost your marbles, but what is public health? And are you going to do something with sanitation? You know, so the connotation of public health is always kind of, you know, leading up to sanitation and things like that. And I guess we still have need to do a lot of job in terms of, you know, building that bit of awareness for public at large and people who can start making a difference even in a small way. And the interesting thing is that over a period of time now, I've been into this field for about 10 years now. And the people who were my colleagues then have reached different positions, and if you bump into them on some flight or something, and they would always come back and ask you, "Okay, oh, great to see you, Ajay. You're still flying, so that means you're doing pretty well. You know, so what's your turnover?" You know, because they, for them, numbers is. So I said, "My turnover last month was we saved 15 mothers from dying." "No, no, but what's your turnover?" I said, "This month my turnover is going to be 7 mothers whom we'll, you know, we've already saved, and we're likely to save many more who land up in the emergency during childbirth." So, you know, conceptually, that doesn't kind of fit in still. And I'm sure each one of you who are here are associated with public health in some way or the other. That little bit of message to you, your friends, and their friends, you know, can go on in such a way that, you know, it's not all about making the money, but it's also giving back something to what people need out there. And you may not need to quit your job, but you can still start making a difference. What I'm going to talk about is a process and what we carried out back home in India related to maternal deaths. And in India, the issue of maternal deaths is very high. In fact, we contribute a sizable amount of maternal deaths in the world. And if you ask any individual back home, what is the maternal mortality you would like to have in your house, obviously the answer would be zero. Okay, so why should it be like what's happening back in our country? So, and what we found that different things are happening in the country at different points in time. There is no kind of, you know, dovetailing of each of these aspects into what can be done. And given the size and the number of women who are dying and the activity which is happening, you find that a lot of paper-based data is happening. And analysis of data obviously then gets down to almost zero. And if it does happen, it is always delayed. And so action, which should start happening based on what feedback you're getting, really doesn't happen. So here is an attempt that we tried to do, and it took almost 2 years, because working with the government, my government counterpart is not here right now, but he should be here. But so before he comes, I can say that it's very difficult to work with the government to get your things going. But we have a supportive gentleman who indeed made a difference to us as far as this is concerned. I'm supposed to say this, so we have no relationships to disclose, and it's absolutely fine. We need to acknowledge all our government partners because they have made a difference, the National Informatics Cell, the Statistics Division. So as you can see, in the government itself, we have to deal with 3 different departments to get one thing going. So, okay, so making sure that all of them are on the same page. The Federation of Obstetric Gynecology Society, they are big partners, because the OBGYN Society in India is one of the largest societies in the world, with almost about 27,000, 29,000 members. cognitive systems was supporting us, and of course FIGO Logic, International Federation of OBGYN, who kind of supported this entire project through Bill and Melinda Gates funding to take this process forward for us. The two Indias which are really existing, one is that we have the largest democracy, almost 1 billion population. We talk about 28 states and number of districts. Till a few years back, we had the highest GDP growth. Even today, our GDP growth is going to be higher than what the cumulative world GDP growth is. We have almost 22 languages, 700 television channels, 70,000 newspapers, around 100 million mobile subscribers, 100 million internet users, and a sizable population within the age group of. So we have this India, which is surging ahead. With the kind of numbers we have, but however, when we look at the health picture on maternal health side, we find that while there is an improvement, however, the challenge still continues. So we have about 27 million deliveries per year, 15% almost on a thumb rule, develop complications, and we have 56,000 maternal deaths per year, which translate to about one maternal death every 10 to 12 minutes, which is better compared to a few years back. And currently our maternal mortality rate is about 100 per 100,000 live births. And our goals for MDG is about 150. And with the 12th plan that we have, you have every five-year plan. So the 12th plan is about, to reach the goal of 100. So these are just to paint a picture in terms of what enormity we have back home. And one of the things that we need to move forward with as far as contributing towards reduction in maternal mortality would be to finding out what are the reasons why they are dying, and put in both the processes, the plans, and the implementation of those plans to make sure that this kind of deaths which shouldn't happen actually doesn't happen. I quickly run through this slide, and while the number of all India is 212, but intrastate diversity also is huge, which means that essentially that there are a lot many, within a state, you find that one particular area has got a lower than the national average, whereas another area has got much double, twice the national average. So the challenges in terms of what actually is happening on the ground level, inter and intrastate, also is a big issue. So tying up all of this is something which what we tried to do, and we have been successful in doing that. So maternal death reviews in the country was launched in about 2010. We do conduct facility-based and community-based death reviews, which incorporates the surveillance and reporting components as well. Now, this is something which was done, with a perspective of exactly doing and finding out the reasons and following the entire cycle of the maternal death review, which finding the causes of it, analysis and feedback of that, based on which plan the action, allocate funds, implement whatever is done, improvement, so the cycle needs to continue. So that was what was the vision in terms of how maternal death review needs to start making a difference in this entire thing. Now, the database which was being collected for maternal death review, we realized that a sizable amount of database was being collected. Almost till last feedback, almost about 12,000 records of maternal deaths were there, and all of that was paper-based. And between the two formats, the facility-based and community-based, there are almost about 23 pages. And if you look at those 23 pages, on an average, they have about 10 lines per page. And within each line, you would have at least, on an average, two data elements. So if you do the math, it comes down to a sizable number multiplied by 12,000 records, which we have currently, and they will only multiply. Okay. So we're talking of a huge number, and currently everything was paper-based. Lot of it was duplication, lot of it was repetition across formats, so the compliance to feed all this, to record all of this across the forms also had become a big challenge. And that is where we felt the need to come in with something for an MDR software. And being the world capital for development of software, we were wondering why we didn't do this earlier when the program was launched, but nevertheless, it's always better late than never. in terms of the process, very quickly, you know, we had several expert group meetings. We had to ensure that all the stakeholders with National Informatics Cell, the Statistics Division, the Health Division, and the stakeholders were part of it. And importantly, to make sure that the entire tools, because that is what is capturing the data, those CB and FB formats, needed to be synchronized. And more importantly, the software needed to be compliant with the NIC, because if National Informatics Cell, which is short for NIC, had to be, we had to make sure that that's compatible with them, because it will ride on their server, and it has to be, you know, security audit and security cleared, because it's the government platform. You can't have, you know, it not being. So that was a major this thing. And another important thing was that, you know, there are different islands of data which is happening. So you have health management information system, Government of India. You have the mother and child tracking system, that short MCTS, as well over there. And you have several other such islands of software which are there. And more often than not, a lot of information is already there in those software. And some of it is duplicated into our hard copy formats, which we are recording again and again. So the challenge was to make sure that this entire thing is kind of integrated through a single mother ID, which will automatically pull out all of this data, which is already residing into your format before we kind of move ahead. Do the security audit to make sure it is compliant with that and it doesn't get hacked. And testing the software at the state level is what. Now the software is available on the website, and next month the formal launch of the software at the national level will take place. The software link is given here. The software highlights is that, one, it is linked to the mother and child tracking system, so you have all the mother details which are pulled into the software. They are username and password linked to ensure that the security of the software is there. There are predefined level of accesses which are given to each individual. So some will have view, edit, some would have only edit, edit, some would have only for generation of reports. So, you know, appropriate level this thing is given. The user interface, which is more important, because everybody may not be familiar, you know, in terms of what data is going. So the user interface between what the hard copy format looks like and what you see on the screen is same. So it's far easier. So anybody with basic education and data entry knowledge can start feeding in the data into this. There are a lot of format dependencies created, so you can't jump, you know, the between formats. So you have to follow that process, and there are certain dependencies which you have to, ensure. There is key compulsory fields, because those are the information we definitely need from a program planning and implementation point of view. All information which is repetitive is auto-filled in. So if you need to make a change, you need to go back to the original format, reselect, and it will start displaying. Most of the data elements within each box is, is through drop-down menus. So, people don't have to think too much. So if it is there, and if some element is not there in the data set, they need to give us a feedback, and we can put it down in the master. Auto save in each page, because, you know, connectivity at times and power in the lower and far flung areas is an issue, so that is there. And we have also, what we have done is, in order not to corrupt the main site, we have created a dummy training site as well, which is exactly like what the main site is. So all the training takes place on this platform, and they can, you know, people can mess around there, and we have no issues. Every month the data cleaning takes place, and you are starting all again. And the report generation, which is a key factor, you know, one is the timeliness of it, and the second is being able to analyze the data in different forms according to your needs and requirement is another thing. So the report generation is on multiple parameters which you can choose and select, and it generates your report, a basic level report for you to start taking action and taking this forward. The flow of this thing, that you open the link, you have your password and the relevant information need to be fed in. You can either select a facility-based case or a community-based case into this entire thing. And your program will move forward only if you feed the mother ID. And these mother IDs are tied to your state. They are tied to your district. So immediately, only that state data or that mother data from that state it is coming is picked up. And the mother ID is unique, needless to say, and it's important because in our country, many times during childbirth, the mother may not be at the husband's place. She goes to her mother's place or, you know, for the delivery, which may be in a different state or a different town. So how does one track that and avoid duplication of data or that information? So we have tried to marry that entire thing into this system. And suppose the mother is supposed to be registered at antenatal clinics, which is where the mother ID is generated. Suppose the mother has not got a mother ID. So what do we do? Do we record her? We don't record her. We definitely record her. However, the information from the where the data has come in needs to be relayed back to from where the mother is. And a mother ID at that level is generated, which then pops up onto the screen here, and then you can start feeding in the data. So that kind of thing is there. And as you can see, the dependencies have been created. In facility-based MDR, annexure 1 has to be fed in first, then it will move, jump automatically to annexure 6, and then annexure 4, and auto-populate. So by the time you reach annexure 4, you hardly have to feed one or two data sets. Similarly, in community-based form, you have annexure 4, then annexure 2, annexure 3, annexure 5, and annexure. As you can see, a lot of annexures, a lot of data is being collected, and a lot of it is repetitive. So that kind of benefits. Just to give you a snapshot of what it is looks like, you know, you have the login page. You have the second shot down there is you in the drop-down menu. Either select the case, the first arrow, facility-based or community-based. The second arrow talks about the mother ID. And I need to share with you right now and later on the challenges part as well. The mother ID was such a challenge because we developed the entire software based on all our interaction, and we realized when we were about to launch the software for training and testing point of view, we realized that the feedback was given to us, although all these people are part of the, you know, the core committee, that three of the states, you know, one follows alphanumeric mother ID, one follows 6-digit mother ID, and one follows 12, you know, 12-digit mother ID, whereas this is 16 to 18-digit mother ID. So now we had to get back to the drawing board again and factor that in, because otherwise we would not pick it up. And one particular state captures all data for the mothers in their local language. So then that local language had to be converted back to English to overcome that particular challenge. So this, and it, you know, each case kind of you keep feeding in the data, it will allow you certain fields, and most of the fields are, you know, not left blank, or they do not contain the actual data set. The display there is select or feed number or feed data, so that, you know, by mistake you don't press save and something which is not supposed to be related to that mother gets recorded. So that's how it's done. Typically, these are the kind of reports that are generated. So you would have, you know, a city-wise report which will come up in terms of number of cases or maternal deaths which have taken place. It will give you data related. I mean, there are tons of data. I'm just giving a snapshot here. Disorders which are causing maternal death. Now, this can be further drilled down into from which particular area they are coming into, from which particular district they are coming into, or sub-center, or what they are coming in from. So you can do that kind of analysis for action. Now, within that, if hemorrhage was a major cause of maternal death, then what were the various reasons for you know, the hemorrhage as such, and what number of cases were there? So whether it's early pregnancy, late pregnancy, and those kind of things are there. And this is not just limited to the medical reasons, the data which is being captured. It is also linked up with several non-medical reasons, like, you know, availability of transport, availability of manpower, availability of, you know, the parental or the family pressure of not seeking help or seeking medical care very late. So that is the kind of thing also which is being captured. So we would know that whether more amount of, you know, push has to be given at the community level for mothers to be aware that they need to come to a facility in case of an emergency, are all those things which are being built and tied up in such a way that the overall goal of reducing maternal mortality in the country is met with. Several challenges is what we face, and people who would like, who would want to develop something like that, do factor in these things before you move ahead, because this has been a learning experience for us, and a good one at that. So system requirements, make sure, you know, there's always a debate between open source, you know, coding or any branded based coding. But if you have to make a difference, and if you have to make sure that whatever you have done indeed sees the daylight, working with the government is your only option. Because if you sit as an individual enterprise and do it, take it from me, you will not be moving forward with it. It will remain in your own island, in your own, you know, space. You won't be able to move ahead. So make sure that you do what is out there with the government. So servers, the coding, where it is locating, what are the kind of speeds that you have, what is the kind of storage capacity you have, updates, maintenance, and security. And another thing on the servers, it's always best to have a server which is in the government domain, or it's in a shared domain to start off with, because servers time and again keeps getting updates, updates in terms of their own capacities, and updates also in terms of the security parameters which are built into it from a hacking point of view. And as an enterprise, you may not have those kind of funds to keep buying servers, the latest ones, or keep maintaining them all the time. So, you know, if you rent it out initially to start up the program and later move on to the government, it makes a lot of sense, because when you rent it out, these people are, you know, captive suppliers of these servers. So it is then their job to make sure it is constantly updated and your database is protected all the time. Which kind of platform I've talked about. Managing teams is, needless to say, is one of the critical things that you need to follow, because you work with several stakeholders. It's not just people who are technical, but the non-technical people also. And you need to always be cautious of this fact that the technical people will, you know, want in your formats, because that's a critical thing. The technical people want everything under the sun and above the earth in that format. And as you can see, we already have 23 pages. So we're trying to work towards reducing that. But, you know, we said it's better to have something which is 99% okay than trying to make it 101% and then delaying the whole process. So we are already 2 years late, but we've made that conscious effort. So that's the thing. Linking other databases, needless to say, we've talked about that. We need to factor in a lead time for some last minute changes as well, which is what I talked about. You know, we realized that mother IDs were not common, so you need to factor that in as well, or the language aspect also. Change in leadership. You know, we may not give it that much importance, but that is one of the critical things, because when we started off in 2010 December, in one of the meetings, we had a very, very strong leader from an IT point of view who said that, okay, we will move ahead with this. And within 3 to 6 months, we were off the ground, and, you know, a lot of activity had taken place. And our administrative services are, you know, structured in such a way that people do get transferred. And this gentleman was transferred to another division, to another state. So once that gentleman went, there was a vacuum. And that vacuum takes a beating on you of whatever momentum you have gathered. Now you have to start from scratch again, orienting the new person. And if the new person is not on board in terms of the understanding or the thought process, it kind of goes into cold storage. So I'm really thankful that that indeed happened back home. And we have Dr. Bhushan here, who's the Deputy Commissioner in Government of India. He's the number 4 person in the entire hierarchy. And he's the one who kind of, the continuity factor, who made sure, he and his team, Dr. Manisha, made sure that this never fell off the radar and kind of moved ahead continuously as we tried to take the process forward. So that's all that I would have to share with you. I can take questions a little later based on what Byron says. And thank you very much for a patient hearing. In case anyone of you wants to know more about this, my email is here. And in case people who are working in developing countries with similar kind of challenges and approaches, or would need help or support in terms of the software development or the software itself, we would be happy to share the codes with you, whatever we have done. So you do not start everything from scratch. You know, you would have a ready-made code with you, which you can do a little bit tweaking based on your requirement, and lo and behold, you have the software ready for you, and you don't need to invest in the basic software, which we would be happy to share it with you at an appropriate time. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Very enlightening presentation. I have just one question before we go to the next speaker, and my question is, so far, what are the data telling you about outcomes? What are the data telling you about maternal health? What are the data telling you about maternal mortality so far in all the data you've gathered?
Yeah, what it is giving us a complete outlook is in terms of what are the various reasons why she's dying, the mother is dying, what level she's dying, and whether they are the causes which are directly linked to medical reasons or non-medical reasons. That's what it is telling us. And based on the reasons why she is dying, medical or non-medical reason, there are action plans which are being developed at the facility level, at the district level, and these actions through a group meeting are being addressed by those facility and the district level people, and even at the state level people. And what they are doing is, based on those findings, they are deciding on certain doable action plans. You know, you can do a lot, but you know, something which is in your control, which is in your domain, at least start acting on that. Because otherwise, at the end of the day, if you start analyzing the problems, you find that, you know, finally only God has the answer for all of that, you know, but that's not the case. You would have an individual who, and the government of India has allocated untied funds at various levels according to their hierarchy and their level. And these untied funds typically is untied. There is no budget line description, and you can actually do it, and one need not wait for things to happen. Now, if your OT theater window pane is broken, why do you need somebody to come and tell you that? You have your money there, replace the window pane. You bulb a few fuse, replace it. Or, you know, something needs to be done which is in your hand. So those are the kind of things which have started taking. And the second thing on the medical side, although there are a lot of policies, a lot of training programs which are happening, however, if there is any specific thing like use a partograph, it's part of the policy, it's part of an implementation program that you have to use a partograph, but you find that people are not using it.